Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, there may be some really good news for people that are in the low and moderate income section of our society, because the American Rescue Plan has some good news about health insurance. We're going to talk about that today in just a moment. When President Biden signed the American Rescue Plan of 2021 into law last month, it included lots of additional help for people who are currently using the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, or who would like to get Obamacare but found that they could not get subsidies. The American Rescue Plan substantially improves health insurance affordability for millions of working people. And here to talk about it is Melanie Hall, Executive Director of the Family Healthcare Foundation, which is based in the Tampa Bay area. And Melanie is a frequent guest here on WMNF. Melanie Hall, welcome back to MNF. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Rob. It's nice to be here.
So I said it was good news. Is that the way you see it? And what are some of the top line good news items in the American Rescue Plan?
Actually, there's a lot of good news. First of all, you know, in the middle of a year, we have, even though it's being called a special enrollment period, what is actually functioning as an open enrollment period, which really means that you do not have to have a qualifying life event in order to enroll now into the health insurance marketplace. So from now until August 15th, enrollment is open, and people are able to enroll for the first time if they happen to have never had this program before, or if, in fact, they missed open enrollment last November. So as a result, there are more opportunities to enroll. The other really nice benefit is that as of April 1st, the premiums are now lower. So that is for both new enrollments and those that are currently enrolled, folks that did go in and enroll during open enrollment, have been getting, you know, regular tax subsidies from January 1st. Now we'll get an increase to those tax subsidies of about 30 to 40%. So it's pretty substantial. Last but not least, people can change plans. If they enrolled during open enrollment and they're just not happy with the plan that they had, now through the end, you know, through the middle of August, they can go in and choose a different plan. And especially with those new higher tax premiums, you know, those tax subsidies, they might decide instead of a bronze plan that they felt that they could afford before, they might now want to change to a silver plan or a gold plan, something that offers them more protection. So there's a lot of new opportunity through the American Recovery Plan.
All right. So the last time you were on, we got calls from people who said that they made too much money to get a subsidy to purchase money through the purchase insurance through the Affordable Care Act. Tell us what the new rules are about subsidies.
Sure. So what has changed about getting tax credits, which is basically a discount on the premium that each individual would pay for their health insurance? What is new and what has changed is that instead of at 400% of the federal poverty level, that tax credit capping out and full price only being available for anyone over that income threshold, now anyone can actually get tax credits as long as the plans that they're choosing are not more than 8.5% of their annual income. So no one should have to pay more than 8.5% of their income for their health insurance premium on this program, regardless of if they're under or 400% of that federal poverty limit. So for folks that had previously applied, were not able to get tax credits, found it too expensive, we're really encouraging them to go back on, reapply, or call us for help, and we'll see what might be available for them now.
Yeah, because as you pointed out on previous shows, if you were a single person making $51,500 a year or more, you didn't qualify for a subsidy under the Affordable Care Act. Now you do.
You do. Again, it might not be a big subsidy, but it might be enough to help this program be more affordable.
Well, we're talking about changes to the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare with Melanie Hall, who's Executive Director of the Family Healthcare Foundation here in the Tampa Bay area. And if you've thought about applying for Obamacare and thought, well, it's not going to work out for me financially, maybe you thought it was too expensive, or you didn't like the range of plans, you can call us now and talk with Melanie. She'll give you some advice. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Now, this American Rescue Plan that the president signed doesn't just expand those those people who can get subsidies. It increases the amount of subsidies for people who already qualify, right?
Correct. And, you know, this is this change started on April 1st, and as we've been assisting people since then, people have been very, very pleasantly surprised. Their premiums really are decreasing by about 30 to 40%.
Yeah, that group used to pay about 2% or more of their income towards premiums.
Correct.
Yeah.
But again, you know, along with that also comes, you know, the potential of being able to buy a plan that has better coverage for you. You can stay enrolled in the same plan and get a lower premium, which is certainly welcome. Or you can also, you know, look at a plan that really might better suit your medical needs.
All right. So what if I was unemployed during the last 12 months? Does this plan have anything for me?
It will. So stay tuned, because we still don't have a date for that. But there's a very big change coming this summer. And there are going to be special rates for anyone that has received unemployment in 2021. Even if you only received 1 week, the first week of January, it will still qualify. And that will mean, regardless of how, if you are under 100% of the federal poverty level, which means you might have previously fallen into what we call the Medicaid gap, which means you don't make enough money to qualify for tax subsidies, or whether you're over 400%, it won't matter. Anyone from zero and on up of any income threshold, if they've received unemployment, they're going to be able to buy one of the two second lowest silver plans for a $0 premium and a very high cost sharing reductions, which will probably translate to about a $0 deductible. So it's an excellent opportunity for anyone that has had an unemployment issue through 2021.
Well, if you've got a question about the changes to the Affordable Care Act for our guest, Melanie Hall, you can email us in the studio. The address is dj@wmnf.org. Melanie, a lot of people were fired or laid off from their jobs, but they continued their health care coverage under COBRA. Does the American Rescue Plan have anything for them?
It does. The American Rescue Plan is going to pay those COBRA copays and premiums from now through the end of September. So it's very important that if somebody is still paying, and sometimes, you know, we all know that COBRA premiums can be really expensive at times. If someone is in that situation, we really encourage them to contact the Human Resources Department of their job and find out how they can go about claiming that federal support through COBRA.
I can remember I was on COBRA about 2 years ago. It cost me $1,000 a month just to keep my existing coverage.
Correct. Because, you know, again, what you're having to pay for is not only your part of the premium, but also what your employer previously paid on your behalf. Plus, you know, the networks aren't always quite as big, and, you know, there's some limitations of that as well. So it's very important that folks reach out to their Human Resources Department and find out what's available to them right now through COBRA.
And the subsidy, you said, is 100% for the next 4 or 5 months?
It is.
That's really good.
It's really good. Yeah. There are a lot of things in the American Recovery Plan that really are very beneficial in terms of making sure that people have access to health care. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. It was very much the intent of this administration to make sure that there are not barriers for people to get the care that they need and to make sure that, you know, folks are supported through this pandemic. So we're very pleased with the changes that we're seeing.
Well, we're talking about the new changes to the Affordable Care Act, and our phone number is 813-239-9663, and our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And those are two ways you can get your questions answered about the big changes to the Affordable Care Act under the American Rescue Plan that was just passed by Congress and signed by the president a few weeks ago. Melanie, we have we could have a phone problem, so you may get cut off. But if you do, I hope you call right back. We're going to take a call from a listener in Polk City. And let me take that call right now. Tom in Polk City, you're on WMNF. Thank you for calling. Whoops. And Melanie did get cut off. Sorry. Tom, what's your question? And we'll get Melanie back.
Okay. I have friends that are low income, and they're more like Trump people. And I suggested that they call about the insurance. And she said, well, they wanted my phone number. And she didn't want to give them her phone number because she didn't want to get scam calls. Are they going to, if she gives them the phone number, is she going to get scam calls from, or calls from these insurance companies trying to sell her insurance or not?
Let me bring Melanie back. And Melanie, are you back? Melanie? Okay. We're gonna get her on in just a second, Tom, and really it's my fault.
That's fine. We all make mistakes.
Yeah, okay. Tom, thanks a lot. Let's bring Melanie back. And Melanie, I'm so sorry I cut you off. Tom asked the question. He has friends who are low income, but they support President Trump. And they didn't want to get involved with Obamacare because when they called up the number to talk to an insurance company, they were required to give their phone number. And the folks said, look, we don't want to give out our phone number because we don't want to get scam calls and we don't want to get calls trying to sell us insurance. So, Melanie, what would you say to Tom and Tom's friends?
And so a couple of pieces of advice. First of all, there are something called Navigator organizations, which is very similar to our organization. And we actually serve the Polk area. But there's a statewide system of navigators. It's all run through nonprofits. So we are funded specifically to provide objective information, and we don't sell anything. Nothing is based on commission. It is strictly a nonprofit service to help people sort through the various plans. Because, you know, again, here in the Tampa Bay area, for example, we have a choice of about 103 plans at the moment. And that can be a little daunting for people to do this on their own. So there's a system in place of nonprofit navigators that can help you and or your friends. And we certainly encourage people to contact us. I'll give you our phone number in a minute. Or they can go on the Covering Florida website and look for a way to contact their local navigator organization. So that's the first piece of advice, because then there's no pressure. There's no anyone on the other end of the phone trying to sell you something, or we do not reach out proactively to people and do any kind of cold calling. We receive phone calls in that ask for assistance. The other piece that I think is very helpful to know is that, you know, we've been a part of this project for 8 years. And I will tell you that we see people that, you know, are certainly on both sides of the aisle every day of the week. And ultimately, this isn't about politics. It's about finding health care that's affordable, that meets your needs. And so that's really what we're here to do, and we're really happy to help anybody that would like to give us a call.
If they're low income, would they get free insurance, or would they still have to pay some?
So it all depends on someone's income level, Tom. And again, that's another benefit of giving us a call, is what we can do is speak very confidentially to someone. We can, you know, look at what the potential is for their income threshold, see what might be available to them. But there are, you know, plenty of times where people actually qualify for free coverage that they choose. So it's a variety of plans they can choose from. But sometimes it can be without a premium at all. So we would really encourage folks that have, you know, any of those questions or are curious about what they might be eligible for to give us a call, and we can help them sort of look at what their options are.
And Melanie, what's your phone number?
Sure. It is 813-995-7005. We serve the whole state of Florida, and you're welcome to call us anytime.
And you don't share those phone numbers. Once they call you, this is a private meeting between the person who wants health insurance and your navigators. This is a private meeting, and that phone number doesn't get shared.
Correct. And all of the information is completely confidential. The other sort of little tip I'd like to throw out there is to make sure if somebody is going to go online and look at some of these options themselves, they always make sure to go to healthcare.gov and not healthcare.com. Because just by going to healthcare.com, that is sort of a clearinghouse of brokers and insurance companies, and your email box will start to fill quickly. So just always make sure you're going to that .gov website.
Tom, there you go.
Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Tom.
Well.
Thank you, Tom. I hope you'll call us back if it works out for your friends. Melanie, any idea of how many people are affected by these larger subsidies, lower premiums, and the other changes under the Affordable Care Act now that we've got this America Rescue Plan?
That about 2.1 million Floridians actually signed up during the regular open enrollment session. So you've got 2.1 million, you know, of our friends and neighbors that could very well be paying 30 to 40% less on their premiums. So we're excited about that. But we also know that there's a potential of, you know, another 5 to 10% of our population here in Florida that could still be eligible for coverage under this plan, and we would like to help them look at their options for that.
Well, we're talking about the changes to the Affordable Health Care Act with Melanie Hall, who is the executive director of the Family Health Care Foundation here in the Tampa Bay area. They are a nonprofit. They navigate for people who are trying to sign up for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act, and they don't charge anything, and they're not keeping records on you that they sell to for-profit companies. So if you've got a question about the Affordable Care Act and the new changes that lower premiums and create larger subsidies, you can call us at 813-239-9663. Let's go to Liz in Spring Hill. Liz, thank you for calling. What would you like to ask Melanie?
Well, good morning. I wanted just to express how happy I am that she's on your show today. I am a longtime user, customer of the Affordable Care Act because I'm a sole proprietor. I live in Hernando County, which is very red, very distrustful of Obamacare. And I'd really want to know how we can get, because there are people just like me in this county, a lot of independent contractors, a lot of sole proprietors. How do we get the word out best up here for people? I've made it part of my mission to get other independent contractors. I often refer them. I use an agent. I use a Blue Cross Blue Shield agent because most of the best policies are under Blue Cross Blue Shield. What can we do to get the word out in the more red counties where there's much more distrust of the Affordable Care Act? And also I wanted to comment, even if you do have the Affordable Care Act, I went back to my agent and she was able to rework our premiums and we get the same coverage. Actually, we're getting even better coverage for less money.
Well, I think I'm going to recruit you, actually, to be our spokesperson, because you've brought up a couple of really great points that I'm glad, you know, people are sort of hearing from somebody who's on the user side of this. So that's great. Thank you so much for those comments. But in answer to your questions of how we can get this word out, again, our organization has been doing this since the first day that this opened 8.5 years ago. And it's always amazing to me when you sit down with someone who is really skeptical, who really does feel like this is something that is not a program or a fit for them. Either they're not going to be able to afford it, or they don't feel like politically this is the right fit for them. And one of the things that we say is, you know, let's take 5 minutes, let's sit down together, let's go through and put a little bit of just general information about your family size, your income, et cetera, in. And let's just view the plans and prices and see if this is something that might be interested, that you might be interested in. And I will tell you, about 85 to 90% of the time, people are very pleasantly surprised. And, you know, again, it doesn't really matter where your political agenda is at that point in time, you know, your political leanings. Really what it amounts to is this something that is going to give you affordable access to health care for you and your family? And so I appreciate the chance that you took in terms of actually giving this program a try. And I think it is exactly what you're doing right now, which is to let people you know, publicly know that this is something that you've benefited from and that this is something that has saved you money, especially as a sole proprietor.
Liz, thanks a lot. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right. You know, Melanie, I think word of mouth is so powerful. I mean, you know, you can watch a million ads, but if somebody tells you something that they personally experienced, and if they find out that they have good success, especially with a navigator, that is powerful information.
It is. It's one of the things that, you know, we do some story collecting as we go along when we have an unusual situation or a family situation that we think somebody can really relate to. You know, we help families that bring, you know, their elderly parent from another country. They help them immigrate to the United States, and they're not going to be eligible for other programs for a wait period, or even if they are, you know, they're never going to qualify for Medicare because they've been paid into the program, etc. We can help families in lots of unusual circumstances sort of look at what they might be eligible for through the health insurance marketplace. And again, there's just a lot of, you know, pleasant surprise around how affordable it makes the coverage. And it's one of the things that, you know, many families are afraid of is what their expenses are going to be if they leave their employer-sponsored insurance to start their own business or to, you know, take sort of a new financial risk. They really want to know that at least their health care is going to be something that they can manage and that it's going to be consistent.
Yeah, you want that peace of mind. We're getting a lot of emails and phone calls. Let's go to Caroline in St. Petersburg. Caroline, you're on the air with Melanie Hall with the Family Healthcare Foundation.
I want to thank you for your help with this. It's so confusing and overwhelming, everything having to do with healthcare. So any kind of help, truly appreciate that. One thing I'm afraid of is if I have pre-existing conditions and want to switch from my, you know, my existing COBRA, like super expensive plan, you know, do I have to worry about, you know, the fact I've got pre-existing conditions? That's my main question. Thank you.
Caroline, that's such a great question because it's something that we hear still quite frequently from people. So let me help put your mind at ease a little bit. Part of the law that was passed with the Affordable Care Act was that no insurance company could ever discriminate or change prices based on pre-existing conditions ever again. So as a result of that, you will, you know, go on and look at plans that you will be able to choose, and it will be based on your age. It will be based on your family size and income. Those things certainly fluctuate in terms of the price that you would pay, but never, you're never asked any questions about what your previous medical history is, nor should you be when you're actually purchasing health insurance. It's illegal. They can't do it. They can't change prices based on that. So you can.
That's a relief.
Yeah. So
again, they wouldn't even want me in another plan.
No, that's not the case at all. Again, one of the things that we do see is prices increase with age. So we always are aware of that. But again, you know, as we're all, you know, some of us are retiring early. We see a lot of folks that are looking for that health care coverage until they do qualify for Medicare. And,
yes,
you know, if we can be helpful in that process, give us a call, Caroline, because we can at least do a little screening with you. We can spend 10 minutes and see what, you know, you might be eligible for with tax credits. And then we can help you compare that to your COBRA. Keep your COBRA while they're going to pay for it. That's always nice. But again, before August 15th, you can give us a call back and we can help you look at what your other options are.
Oh, great. Great. Well, thank you so much. That's a relief. That's kind of part of my fear. And then just keeping up with all this complicated stuff. And then I know that there have been changes and there are more changes to come. So thank you for helping us with this. Appreciate you all. Bye-bye.
Of course. Call us anytime, Caroline.
Thanks, Caroline. So, Melanie, again, your phone number, if people want to talk to a navigator at your nonprofit. You're not selling anything. You're not keeping any sort of personal records. You're just offering people advice navigating this complex situation of health insurance.
Sure. And our phone number, if you would like to reach out to us, is 813-995-7005.
Well, we're talking about the lower premiums and the larger subsidies for individuals who buy health insurance, and we're talking about good, positive changes in COBRA with Melanie Hall, who is the executive director of the Family Healthcare Foundation here on WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. If you've got a question for Melanie, and she knows a lot, as you can hear, call her up. Let's go to Neil in St. Petersburg. Hi, Neil. You're on MNF.
Ooh, glad I got through. Thank you for doing the show today.
So what would you like to ask?
What can we help you with?
Yes, my big question is, I'm good at, you know, picking out the best plan, but I make $32,000 a year, and I had to settle for one of these bronze plans with the $8,000 deductible, which is only good if something really bad happens to me. Will I be eligible to switch to maybe a silver plan with a lower deductible now with the changes?
You will be. And in all honesty, that's a lot of what we've done in the last few days is these new premiums have rolled out. People are calling in. They did enroll in bronze plans through open enrollment because that was what was most affordable. Of course, that carries this huge risk with those very high out-of-pocket maximums. And especially during a pandemic, you know, that could potentially be a reality right now for folks.
Yeah, I look at that plan as something really bad happens to you otherwise. Also, is dental considered with the pre-existing conditions? If I did get a dental plan through the Affordable Care Act, can they discriminate on my pre-existing horrible teeth?
Right. So dental plans are a little bit different. They're not actually... They're offered through the marketplace because if people are choosing health insurance, we want them also to have access to dental coverage as well. But they work quite differently. They don't fall under, like, minimum essential coverage, for example, like the health insurance policies do. And the way that we best explain dental insurance plans is it gives you your two free cleanings a year, which are, you know, very vital, a set of bite wing x-rays for free, very vital, and it gives you discounts on any work after that. Depending on what plan you choose, it gives you a little bit more or less discount. So we're happy to talk through those plans and help you find one that your dentist accepts, but it is a different process than it is for health insurance, a different kind of benefit, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And thank you very much. And your number again was
813-995-7005? Yes. Please give us a call. We're happy to help you look at what your new subsidy might be and if there's a better plan for you.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Neil, thanks a lot. Melanie, our signal reaches Manatee and Sarasota and Polk Counties and Pinellas and Pasco and, of course, Hillsborough and even the surrounding counties. But what counties do you serve? Do you just tell us?
Yeah, so our main focus is a four-county area, which is Hillsborough, Pinellas, Pasco, and Polk. And that's where we have the ability to do in-person assistance in those four counties. However, we also have a wide-reaching network across the state through the University of South Florida's Covering Florida Project. And we also are doing a lot of phone and virtual appointments that we can do for anyone. I have an appointment scheduled this afternoon for somebody in Orlando. And we're going to be doing that by Zoom. And it's going to be, a process of screen sharing where I'm able to go to healthcare.gov, help somebody fill out an application. They can watch everything that I'm doing, and we can look at plans at the same time. So we're not limited at this point to those four counties.
All right. Well, we're talking with the head of a nonprofit, the Family Healthcare Foundation. She's Melanie Hall, and we're talking about all the changes in the Affordable Care Act. And the changes are good news for most of us, for low and moderate income people here in the U.S. Doug writes this. He's kind of skeptical. He says it's great that the American Recovery Act will help pay premiums, but I'm concerned about the out-of-pocket associated with ACA plans and deductibles. He sounds like the last caller. He goes on to say out-of-pocket are between $8,000 and $11,000, and they have a deductible of $4,000 before the insurance kicks in. How do we navigate around that? It's still unaffordable, writes Doug.
Sure. And for some of those bronze plans that offer less protection, you're absolutely right. Not only that, the other thing that we have found in the last year or so is that there are out-of-pocket expenses that are really buried in those summary of benefits. They're not as clear or as transparent as they've been in the past on the sort of you know, on healthcare.gov on the sort of summary page that just gives you information about just straight up deductible, medical deductible. We're also finding that there are buried separate pharmacy deductibles. There are high copays for a hospital stay, for example. And that is the benefit of reaching out to a navigator. Because, first of all, we can make sure that you know exactly what you're purchasing when you buy a plan. We want to make sure that you have the summary of benefits that very clearly spells out each person's responsibility. But secondly, it may be that, you know, sometimes people are going for that lowest price ticket in a bronze and just paying a few dollars more a month in a silver plan. You might end up qualifying for cost-sharing reductions that bring those deductibles way, way down and those out-of-pocket expenses way down. So that's the beauty of really reaching out to an assister or a navigator that can go through those different options for you to make sure you're really getting the most bang for your buck. We really want everyone to walk away feeling satisfied with what they've chosen for their health care plan.
Let's go to another caller. Lori is in St. Petersburg. Hi, Lori. You're on the air.
Hi, Rob, and hello to your guests. Thank you so much for taking my call. I sent an email, too, but I was afraid you wouldn't get to it, so I thought I'd give you a call. You mentioned, I'm sorry, I forgot the name of your guest.
Melanie Hall.
Hi, Ms. Hall. You mentioned that people who received unemployment in 2020 in the summer could get premiums as low as paying nothing.
Correct.
Okay, so should this... actually calling for my sister. So should someone in that situation call now and get a better, possibly a better and reduced rate, and then or do they have to wait until the summer? In other words, can they do both?
Well, you can do both. So if somebody, for example, wanted to go ahead and enroll now based on whatever their current income is, if it's below 100%, depending on what your county you're in, then that's something I won't go into too much detail right now. But if it's below 100%, then they may have to wait until that new change comes out. But if they have some income and they want to go ahead and enroll now based on that income for their family size, we can certainly do that. And then when this new guidance comes out around the unemployment special benefit, we can then make sure we follow back up with them and say, hey, you have the ability now to potentially change to one of these silver plans, these lower silver plans, and actually have a $0 premium, $0 deductible. So
she actually lives in Chicago. So are you saying it depends on county?
Again, that particular change is part of the American Recovery Plan, which is going to go national. And so she should be able to do this in Chicago as well.
Okay. She can do it now, and then she can go ahead and do it again in the summer.
She can. The best way for her to connect with somebody that will be helpful for her in Chicago is to go onto healthcare.gov. There will be a tab there that says Find Local Help, and she should look for her navigator organization.
Find Local Help. Awesome. Thank you so very much.
Sure. Thank you, Lori.
Show. Thank you.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you. And I hope your sister has good luck. Don writes this. Can a low-income person working off and on because of illness during the year, making only around $7,000 annually, qualify for health insurance? This person is not receiving unemployment, the question goes.
So that's a bit of a challenge. And that's where, when I just said a few minutes ago, it depends on what county you're in. It really does in this particular situation. When somebody is under 100% of the federal poverty level, there are counties that have county health care plans. We're very fortunate here in Hillsborough County that there's a very robust plan that is paid through a half-cent sales tax for people in that Medicaid gap situation. Pinellas County has a county plan, as does Polk. But then, for example, Pasco County that we also serve does not have a county plan, and then that person would fall into what is called the Medicaid gap. People might want to consider going ahead and trying to file for unemployment if their hours have been reduced, even if they just work off and on. If their hours have been reduced or affected by COVID, it might be worth trying to do that unemployment application simply because, again, there may be some increased benefit there for you financially. On top of that, it may help you qualify this summer for, you know, for coverage that could potentially be free.
Melanie, there's a big debate in Florida about expanding Medicaid, and my understanding is the American Rescue Plan that was just passed offers incentives to states like Florida that have not yet passed Medicaid expansion. Tomorrow it's going to be debated in Tallahassee. Tell us where it stands right now. I mean, would this person who makes $7,000 annually, who just emailed us, would they be helped if there was Medicaid expansion in Florida?
They would be. And it would make it much more equitable across our state than it is right now. As I was just saying, right now it depends on what county you live in. And so one of the ways that this program, the Affordable Care Act, was originally designed is that everyone from 0 to 100% would be covered by Medicaid, and that's, you know, through that expansion. Then people from 100 to 400% at the federal poverty level would get tax subsidies to make the program more affordable. And then, you know, after over 400%, you had the ability to buy on the marketplace at full price, or, of course, everybody certainly, you know, has that option of employee-sponsored insurance through their job for those folks that are offered that. So that was the way this entire law was rolled out. You know, it was designed in 2010. It was enacted, and we really got rolling in 2013 with enrollment. And that really was the way it was supposed to happen. The Supreme Court then ruled that states could opt out of Medicaid. There were quite a few states that did at that time, and so there were states that decided not to expand Medicaid, like Florida. Many of those states have changed their mind on that particular aspect of this law, though, and have gone and expanded Medicaid, taken advantage of all those federal matching dollars and brought money down into their state and helped their citizens under 100% get covered. It's not the choice that Florida has made so far. So if that's something that people are feeling strongly about, they can certainly contact their state legislators, you know, however they're feeling about it, and certainly let their voice be heard.
Well, the healthcare system in the U.S., the insurance system, is very complex, and we're helping you navigate it today with Melanie Hall, Executive Director of the Family Healthcare Foundation. Grab a pen and a pad of paper, because in just a moment we're going to give you her phone number, and you can get in touch with the navigator yourself and talk to them about your particular situation, and they'll help you find health insurance. Let's go to John in Tampa. John, you're on with Melanie Hall.
Hi, Rob, it's John. Can you hear me?
Yeah. John, what would you like to ask?
Oh, I don't want to ask a question, but I just want to kind of say something about the cobra. You got to watch out. If you turn your back on it, it might bite you. I retired early. I heard your comment about how you had it a year ago, and I think you're one of the newest employees of M&F now. But one good thing that happened with me is, since I retired early, I took the Affordable Care Act insurance, and I'm always healthy, but suddenly I had a problem where I called 911. I thought I was having a heart attack, and went to the hospital, and after they checked everything out, they said, well, your gallbladder needs to come out, and I had to wait 2 days till I tested negative for COVID, and then they took it out, and a week later, I'm back at home. And I got a bill for $38,000, but it said the AFA covered $30,000 of it, so I only had to pay $8,000. And anyway, I just thought that's, you know, for people that want to say bad things about AFA, it helped me.
Yeah, you mean the ACA, the Affordable Care Act?
Oh, right, yeah, right. Okay. I don't know why I said AFA.
That's okay.
Sorry.
All right, John, I'm glad things worked out for you.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Ms. Paul, thank you for being there.
Of course. And John, first of all, so glad you're feeling better. That's great news. Glad that you were able to get the care you needed. And also, you know, that's an out-of-pocket maximum, and that's actually probably one of the highest out-of-pocket maximums. It gets capped at about $8,500, and mm-hmm. that is probably one of the benefits of this program for somebody who you know, as an earlier caller said, just wanted a safety net. You know, maybe they don't feel that they have high medical needs and that they're going to be utilizing care very often, but they want that safety net in place, and it's that out-of-pocket maximum that caps out anything that you're going to have to pay for the year, even if something catastrophic happens. So thank you for that comment.
Okay. Well, good. You have a good day.
You as well.
John, thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
And as Melanie Hall mentioned earlier, one of the features of the new American Rescue Plan is 100% COBRA subsidy for people who lose their health insurance because of involuntary job loss or reduction between April 1st and September 30th of this year. So 100% subsidy if you're on COBRA as of right now. And Jeff writes in, Melanie, this may be a tough question to answer. Jeff writes in, from your guest's experience, what is the average cost of health insurance for individuals and for families? And I think he means under the Affordable Care Act. Do you know what the average cost is? And is there a way to determine something close to that?
I can tell you what the average cost is in terms of, like, the literature that we received. I will also tell you that this really varies drastically based on our experience of who we're helping. So basically, what we're told is the average cost across the board for an individual is around $50 per person. And again, that changes based on the size of the individual's family. So that would be an individual, so family, let's say, of four could be potentially $200-ish. Depends on the size of the family, it depends on the income, and it also depends on the age of each family member. So again, cost can increase with age. So although we can talk about sort of cost averages, I don't want to give anybody a false impression of what this could actually cost, because there are individuals that I helped somebody yesterday who is nearing retirement age, is almost ready to go onto Medicare, has, you know, is living off of some Social Security payments and a little bit beyond Social Security. And, you know, it's about $220 a month for her for the plan that she chose. So still, she feels like that's much more affordable than any other option she has, but that's certainly not in that $50 range that we see with somebody who might be younger and, you know, making around the same amount of money. So there are a lot of factors that go into this, but again, happy to help anyone explore what their particular situation is if they'd like to call.
Well, let's take another phone call. Let's go to Rick in Tampa. Rick, you're on with Melanie Hall. What's your question?
Hey, actually, more than a question, I just want to add into the comment that John made that, you know, COBRA, ACA basically paid $30,000 and he ended up with paying $8,000. I personally have a whole problem with the insurance system that my wife was pregnant about 3 years ago, and when we got a final bill, it was $35,000. And it says, statement says, insurance paid $5,500 and we don't owe anything. But my question is, if insurance can pay $5,500 to a hospital and settle the bill, why can't we do that directly instead of paying $800 a month in insurance? That is my problem.
Melanie, were you able to hear the question?
Kind of. But I understand the sentiment behind it. You know, the bottom line is we have in the United States, we have a fee-for-service based on an industry that is a third-party collector, which is, you know, third-party insurance companies. So there are negotiated rates between hospitals and insurance companies that take a lot of factors into consideration. And really, one of the goals of the Affordable Care Act was to get as many people covered as possible so that those rates didn't include having to pay for uninsured people that showed up into emergency rooms for care or got admitted for very costly procedures. Over time, what we've seen is that that has been the case, that the insurance industry has started to stabilize. There's more competition for not only marketplace plans, but in general, there's more competition. And, you know, we're seeing that prices are starting to level. And, in fact, a couple of years in a row, we had a little bit of a lowering of prices. So it's not an easy system. It's not a system that is nearly as streamlined as many other countries have. But because of the private market of our particular insurance industry, this program helps expand coverage, which hopefully is going to have the ripple effect of making sure that we're all not paying for uninsured people showing up and hospitals and insurance, you know, premiums for all of us having to absorb those costs, if that makes any sense.
All right. There you go, Rick. Thanks a lot.
And
I promise, Rick, we'll do other programs about whether or not there should be a national health insurance program in the U.S. That's really not the topic today. Melanie works for a nonprofit, and she's helping people navigate our current system. Melanie, I remember a few years ago, I was around during the debate over Obamacare, and we heard that premiums were going to skyrocket, insurance companies were going to leave the market, we would have fewer choices here in Florida, and we'd have death panels where people who were very sick would be ordered to just die by these death panels that would be brought in under Obamacare. And people should look back at all the predictions made under Obamacare. Has that stuff, is there anything close to being true? Skyrocketing insurance rates, insurance companies leaving the market, death panels. Did any of those predictions come true?
They did not. And as I was just saying, and as you and I have talked about, Rob, it's actually helped stabilize the market. It seems to be a positive thing, and again, you have new insurance companies that have joined our market. You know, in the last 2 years, we've had Bright Health and Oscar that have joined our market here in the health insurance marketplace in our area. We've gone up to 103 plans as opposed to the 20-something plans that we had the very first year that we were assisting with this program. So it's expanded pretty dramatically. It's given people a lot of choice of exactly what they want. I mean, I'm on my husband's insurance through his company, and I get to choose each year between two plans, an HMO and a PPO. And now those are my only two choices. That is one of the advantages of the marketplace, is that you can really tailor the price and the benefits to what the needs are for you and your family.
You have more choices under Obamacare than you do under your husband's plan.
About 101 more choices. Yeah.
I won't rile up the Tea Party by replaying all the predictions, but I'm just so tempted to do that. John writes in, he says, is there anything in the new law that delivers what could be construed as a public option or Medicare for those who choose to go on Medicare who are not age eligible, John asks.
Yeah, so not yet. It's a great question, and I know it's something that's been discussed quite a bit. And in fact, it was part of, I think, this administration's, campaign promises was the ability to at least explore a public option and hopefully at some point add that to the marketplace. Again, we're very early into the changes that this administration is trying to make to this program. And so far, the ones through the American Recovery Plan have been very positive and very much in the direction of the benefit of the folks that we are helping right now. I do think that there may be a public option down the road, so stay tuned.
Melanie, again, what's your phone number if people want to get in touch with you and talk with the navigator and find some clear and concise and fair advice about which plan to choose?
Sure. Our phone number is 813-995-7005. I should also mention that we have navigators that speak Spanish, Portuguese, Russian, and Haitian Creole.
Terrific.
So, yeah, we have the ability really to help many people in their own language, and we have a language line for other folks that we need to assist as well. So feel free.
All right. I think we'll have time for one more phone call. We've got a bunch of email questions I haven't read yet. If you want to get in touch with us live right now, you can call us at 813-239-9663. Talk with Melanie Hall, who's Executive Director of the Family Healthcare Foundation. Wendy writes in and asks, does your organization cover Medicare Advantage providers as well? And that's Wendy's question. But let me just add to it. I know a lot of people who are thinking about retiring or retiring and wonder with all their inundated with private insurance companies suggesting Medicare Advantage programs. And then some people wonder whether or not they should keep their employer's health insurance if they if their retirement age and on Medicare. So where do people go who are senior citizens who want to find out what the fairest plan is?
So there's a wonderful organization called Florida Shine, and it's actually funded by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs. They are a nonprofit, just as we are, and they exist to help people through the Medicare process. So they're a great partner of ours. We refer people to them all the time, and they're really a very objective resource for helping to explore all of those questions around Medicare. So I encourage anyone to just Google them. There's a really nice statewide number you can call, and they'll answer your questions about Medicare for you.
And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org, if you want to send in a question. This anonymous person writes, the cost of medical care is the root of most problems in our system. That's their opinion. All right. Thank you for that. And then Doug writes in, how is the $8,000 out-of-pocket expense compared to Medicare for All model, where we would pay 80-20, and how would added financial supplements based on income offset the 20%, writes Doug.
So actually, the 80-20 model is what the bronze plan is. It is kind of an 80-20, and then you go up to silver, which is 70-30. No, I'm sorry, it's kind of the other way around. 80-20 is the 20% responsibility and 80% subsidized is the platinum plans, and then it goes down from there. So 70-30 for gold and 60-40 eventually is what then becomes the responsibility for the consumer through bronze and silver. So they've tried to work in those concepts to the different metal tiers with the idea that people had choice in terms of what they wanted to pay per month. The lower the premium that you pay, then the higher your out-of-pocket expenses responsibility will be. So they worked that into the program to give people choice as opposed to having a single plan that does it in exactly the same way for each family. Again, the Medicare for All concept is a streamlined process that would eventually have some benefits, but it's not part of the program that exists now. And so what we can at least do is help people explore what their options are through the health insurance marketplace and then look at those various models and see what is the best fit for their budget as well as the medical needs for their family.
Melanie, one last question before we go, and that is, why does your organization exist? I know that's kind of a silly question, but I mean, obviously our private health insurance system is really hard to navigate, but how did your organization come about and what's its mission?
Oh, that's such a great question. Thanks, Rob. So our mission is to help our friends and neighbors access affordable, high-quality health care in a very equitable way. And so along with the health insurance marketplace, which we are grant-funded to provide that objective assistance for, we also are contracted with the Hillsborough County Health Care Plan to provide information and outreach and create awareness about that opportunity here. We are contracted by the Healthy Kids Corporation to provide assistance in an objective way through the Healthy Kids process so people can find out what affordable options are available for the kids in their family, which, again, you and I should do a show on that one day, I think.
Yeah, let's do it.
And so there are... We're kind of a clearinghouse, kind of a one-stop shop at this point for anybody that might qualify for any of those public programs that exist to help families access and afford health, you know, high quality health coverage. So thanks for that question, because we do a lot more than just the health insurance marketplace. We can do a quick screening with everyone and say, okay, these are the programs that these individuals in your family might be eligible for. Let us help you cross the finish line and get enrolled in them.
All right. And again, your phone number is 813-995-7005. Melanie Hall of the Family Healthcare Foundation, thanks for coming back on the program. You always shine a light, and usually you have good news. So thank you for coming on.
Well, thanks for having us. We appreciate your partnership, Rob.
Thanks, Melanie.
Thanks.
And you can listen back to this program on the WMNF archives if you missed it. I'm Rob Lurie. Thanks for listening. Barbara Fling has been our phone producer today. This is WMNF in